Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele on 95BFM.
Hello, Rita. Come in.
Kia ora. How are you?
I'm good. And good. Yourself? A good weekend and all that sort of stuff?
Yeah, great weekend. Whenever it's sunny, I just, you know, feel happy. What about you?
Same boat as you. Feel about a million times better when the sun starts shining in Tamaki Makaurau after this big, wet winter.
We've had a warm winter, but it's been wet.
Yeah.
Mm. I think the water table has risen about 4 metres or something. Feels like that anyway.
Hey, Rita, what are we chatting about this afternoon? Or this evening, I should say.
So, I thought we talk quite a lot about the problems that we're facing.
Yes.
And, you know, we kind of talk vaguely about what the solutions are, like buying less and consuming less, travelling less, eating less meat, that kind of thing. But I thought maybe, like, today we could have a look at, like, dive into exactly what we can do to live sustainably. Like, how much meat and how many kilometres can you go and live sustainably? So I thought we'd put some hard kind of numbers around it and see. I thought it was going to be quite a positive episode because I thought, you know, this feels like something we can take control of and we can do ourselves. But the more I researched, the more it reminded me of just how far we have to go and how much we've kind of got to sacrifice to get to where we go. So it is a little bit grim. But I guess some numbers help, you know, start somewhere.
Okay. Number one, Rita Steele, go.
We've got two big issues on this planet. One is the consumption of how much we're consuming, and the second is population. So the Western world population is either flatlining or in decline, but we consume way too much per person.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you look at, like, the developing world, while their population numbers are still growing, they consume a lot less than us. So we all have something that we could be doing. But we're going to kind of approach these issues. And the number one is, overall, our population is now, as a species, too high. So the scientists say that we are at maximum carrying capacity. So what that means is carrying capacity is what you're looking at a species and going, you know, at what point do they outgrow their ecosystem? And some species do better at carrying capacity, and humans are one of those. We work together a bit better. The competition makes us kind of survive better. So, you know, I guess that's why we have got to this point. But unfortunately, what it means is, you know, one or two disasters and things can collapse pretty quickly. So they say the planet is at the species is at capacity at about 9 billion, which we are very fast approaching. So the single greatest thing, and at the moment we are using 2 planets worth of stuff.
Mm.
So we sort of, you know, for our population needs to bring that back. And if we wanted to keep consuming in the way that the Western, like, culture consumes, we would need to have the population at 1.5 to 2 billion people. So, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, that number we passed that a long, long time ago. So the best we can do is make sure that we don't overshoot carrying capacity. So that's limiting ourselves to having 2 kids or less. So that's not to make anyone feel bad who already has more than that. Like I say, you know, we can only do what we can do. And but it is just something worth thinking about. So that's kind of one issue.
Okay, don't have children. Yep, that's number one.
You know, like in New Zealand, for example, it's balanced out. So we are actually below our replacement rate in New Zealand. So, yeah, I guess it's sort of something that for New Zealand isn't really a massive problem. Some of these other ones we're going to talk about is where it is. But we did talk about putting some numbers on things. So that's why I was like, okay, well, we've got to put a number on this, then that's where we sit. So, so 2 or less kids is the thing there. And then number 2 issue we talk about all the time, meat consumption.
Mm-hmm.
So what is, we always say less meat. What is the amount of meat? According to Stanford, the research done by Stanford, 300 grams of meat a week. So although there is quite a big difference between the impact of chicken and beef, for the sake of just putting a number on it, 300 grams of meat a week.
It's okay. So, I mean, I think if it was very thinly sliced, you could enjoy a, you know, some sort of roast beef sandwich every once in a while.
Yeah, Yeah, and you know, I mean, you could have once a month feast, or you could go. I think they were sort of saying that's the equivalent of 3 chicken meals a week, or something like that, or one, you know, smallish steak. Although I thought 300 grams of steak,
a 300 gram
like a
steak is quite large. But
yeah, right. I mean, okay, like, maybe it was a large steak. Sorry.
Most Kiwis are probably used to eating a 200 gram steak when they go out for dinner.
Yeah, right. Okay, thank you for that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I mean, it's not completely, you know, unachievable, that, as far as I'm concerned. And then the next issue was transport. So a really interesting study, which actually sort of triggered this for me, was the concept of giving people a cap of 4,000 mobilised kilometres a year, which means, okay, you can walk and you can bike and you can do as many kilometres as you want, but if it's mobilised 4,000, and I've read another study that said 3,000, so somewhere between 3 and 4,000 kilometres a year, which I don't think is, again, that unreasonable on a day-to-day basis. Like, you know, we, I think our now that we're working from home, we're not doing that much, but I think as a family, we were probably doing about 10,000 kilometres a year. So that's 4 people. So that's, you know, it's not completely unachievable.
Can you give me, like, using Auckland as an example, what would 4,000 kilometres look like? A trip from, say, my house in Avondale to Princes Street in Auckland CBD?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think it was 30-kilometre round trip a day, was it? I don't know. Sorry, I didn't do the maths on that. I thought, okay, I read that somewhere, but that doesn't, in my mind, 30 times 365 doesn't quite work out. So, maybe it was 30 kilometres a day, and then a couple of longer trips, I think, maybe, was what I was reading. It's quite a lot. Like, I think about when I say that our family was doing 10,000 a year, and that was when we were going into the city all the time, doing drop-offs, and then one or two trips away a year. So it's not completely restricting your life.
It's about 11 kilometres a day. So it's, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
Yeah, 11 kilometres a day.
Okay. Well, I mean, it's not completely... Okay, so, but that's per person.
Mm-hmm.
But then if you're thinking, if you've got a flatmate or you've got, you know, you can carpool with or whatever, I mean, you know, then all of a sudden you can join that up. And I'm going to talk about ways that you can kind of help yourself achieve some of these in a minute. The one that I found almost impossible was, like, no plastic. I was like, oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's the part that's really hard. Plastic is just really unsustainable, we know that. So it's a shift to paper and other forms of tin and that kind of thing. So that one, I think, is really difficult in this world that we live in. So the carbon budget. So we talk a little bit about the transport miles, which this kind of takes into account. So what's interesting about it having a carbon budget per person is, just to give you an idea, if we gave everyone a carbon budget, we would be looking at about, I've read different numbers, but we'll take the higher number just to give us a bit of leeway, 2.3 tonnes per person per year. So what's tricky about that is that the global average is 4 tonnes per year, and then New Zealand is per person is about 17 tonnes per year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a long way to go in that regard. And I did some numbers based on, you know, that 4,000 mobilised kilometres a year and some beef consumption and your electricity in your home, and you've pretty much used your carbon budget a year and your food. So I mean, you're like, oh man, the electricity budget that they were talking about was 1,500 kilowatts per person per year, which isn't a lot as far as I'm concerned. Like, my family probably do 1,500 in 2 months, so we're overshooting that by double, I think. So it's, you know, like, oh, it's, you know, the electricity budget's an interesting one. And I guess
With electricity, why is this a thing when we're using hydro? Why is it part of a carbon budget? I don't...
Right, yeah, fair call. I mean, I think the nuance here is that New Zealand does have some new renewable...
Yes.
It's not all renewable, but it is, you know, this is a global average that takes into account nuclear and stuff too, which is well low. So we are working with some numbers. And I think that some numbers that aren't localised. But you're right, like, I guess we are slightly better than, than say, you know, America, where they're relying a lot on gas.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's not, yeah, I guess that does offset some of that electricity. And if you then went to an EV, then you're looking about being your mobilised kilometres could be higher, which is, you know, like, there's a whole lot of nuance in here, which I'll talk about in a minute as well. So yeah, the killer for me when I was going through this, and there's a great site that I'll talk to you about, but the killer for me was those air miles. So I was like, okay, you know, a lot of this is achievable, you know, like, okay, lots of tweaks in my life, and I used to make a real effort before having kids. It's so much harder with kids because your life just gets busier, but you know, it is achievable. It's a bit of hard work, but it's achievable. And I think it's also a mind shift. So instead of, like, you know, the lifestyle that we lead in the Western world where it's like, you know, you get ready for work, you wear makeup, you wear clothes, you know, it's kind of like a slower pace of life that I think we would have to adopt to make this work. And also, you know, spending time pottering in our gardens and stuff, because we would be relying a little bit more on some of those sorts of resources.
Yes.
So, if anyone's interested, because so basically what I used for this was a Berkeley University calculator that they've got, a study and a calculator. So you can find it by going Cool Climate Network, and it's Berkeley data. And you can run, what's interesting about this one, because you can run your own ecological footprint and find out how many planets you use. But what's interesting about this one is you calculate your current usage, and then there's a list of the ways that you can save, like what, you know, like where your budget's kind of blowing out, ways that you can save. So it sort of says, you know, shift your car to, you know, a hybrid, or, you know, and bike one day a week, or carpool, or, and you can kind of go, I pledge to do this, or I'm already doing this, and you can see your allocation shifting around. So, you know, that's kind of quite interesting and fun to do, and see where you blow out, you know, your kilometres. And like I say, it's things like, you know, flying for me, I fly a little bit for work, not massively, but enough to just completely blow out my budget.
Why fly when you can Zoom?
Yeah, well, that is a good point. I guess it's just like now that we've gone back to, you know,
normal life,
business as usual, there's an expectation, yes. I think. But you're completely right. Like, it's one of those things that I think pre-pandemic, you know, I would have gone over to Australia 8 times a year, that's the expectation, and now it's sort of once or twice, so that's not as bad, but I mean, it's just totally insane. What was it, the four, what did I say, we've got 2.3 tons a year, and it's 8 tons to get to New York and back, just to give you a bit of an idea. So you're using your entire budget for 2 years in one flight, so I was just like, wow, you know, I guess. And there's, the Green Party have actually called for holidays, like flights, to not be able to be advertised, which I was like, wow, you know, that's a big call, because it is, like, if we've pledged to meet these targets, and we're then also telling people, like, holiday, overseas, then it's kind of like a very mixed message for people, I think.
Okay, Rita, is there one more thing that you would like to wrap up on?
Just that, you know, after this, it was reading it again, I was like, it's very overwhelming, and, you know, I know that some people, this is all too much and can be kind of depressing, so just try and do your best, and, you know, it's very hard in the society that we live in to make some of these changes without the entire society shifting, so you can't beat yourself up too much about it, because we need that shift as a society to a slightly slower pace. You know, so that we're not required to travel for work, and we're not required to go into work every day, all those sorts of things.
Yes.
So don't beat yourself up too much, but have a look at that website, see if there are some little changes you can make, and you know, just try and think positive, because we might as well enjoy it while we're here as well, right?
Yeah, nice one. All right, Rita Steele, thank you very much. We'll catch up with you next week.
That was Sustaining Alive with Rita Steele.
Listen to the music and relax. Relax deeply and
sleep and just relax. Your friends won't interrupt you now. The world isn't waiting for you. You just relax, relax deeply and relax. Relax deeply and just relax. The King's Arms is dead. Long live the King's Arms.
Yeah. love. Yeah. The 95 BFM Entertainment Guide. Book your gig at Ding Dong Lounge, Auckland's rock dive bar. Go to dingdongloungenz.com.
Doesn't look like there's anything to do tonight, so just watch something on TV at home, guys. Read a book. On Wednesday, the 31st of August, Pateco Beats with Enrique Morales, Miguel BD and Gustavo Ferreira at Ponsby Social Club. The Jubilant Underground is on at Whammy Bar, a monthly board game night at Whammy. Wednesday, the 31st of August, from 6pm, board games, Magic, The Gathering, RPGs and music. Thursday, the 1st of September, Bootleg Rascal performing down the Tuning Fork. Tickets from Mosh Ticks. DJs Bobby Brazuka and TDK at Ponsonby Social Club. Home Sweet Home at Phoenix Cabaret. Tickets from Event Finder. A modernized drag performance showcase of Housewives in the 50s and 60s. And on Friday, a live tribute to Thundercat, followed by Chip Matthews and Grantis at Ponsonby Social Club. Swallow the Rat, Warm Leather and Alien Hand at Cupid Bar. Tickets from Under the Radar. I'm curious to see Alien Hand. The Humankind and Speech Act Theory is on at the Vic Devonport. $25 tickets with all profits going to Youthline. Grab your tickets here. Let me just click on that. You can find out where that goes to on 95bfm.com on our entertainment guide. Yeah. Just get out and get amongst people.